So good morning to all. What a joy it is to remember the Lord and show forth His death. I would like us to turn to that verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And verse 13. Reading verse 12 for connection. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We are going to occupy ourselves with this verse. And by the help of the Spirit of God, we want to dissect this verse, that we will bring before you the person of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I want to say, brethren, we have been handling a divine person. And this divine person we have been occupied with and handling and trying to expound is so great that at times vocabulary may fail us to express adequately who this person is. I am not going to go out on no limb when it comes in relation to the person of the Christ or divine persons. I am not going to hang out myself outside there, because when it comes to Him, God is very jealous when it comes to the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, where we'll be occupied, just want to bring a verse in chapter 1. John was banished on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. And he saw the Lord Jesus in his judicial garb. And John fell at his feet as a dead man. Verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead or became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death. Write these things, which thou hast seen, chapter 1. And the things which are, chapter 2. And the things which shall be hereafter, chapter 4, to the end. Wonderful book. I could remember when I just got saved, there was a young man on the job reading the book of Revelation. And he said, those days they had, you men used to take heroin. Well, heroin is coming back. But in those days, heroin was in the streets of New York, and LSD and acid. And he said, John had a bad trip. He smoked something bad. So that's why he brought out all of these things. He got this revelation from God. And the Lord Jesus is speaking. When you read the book of Revelation, it's a wonderful book. I'm not going to take it up. I'm just going to take up that verse. But he comes into chapter 22. And there is, behold, I come quickly. Verse 7. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. Also, in verse 20, he said, He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Since we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And oh, that he may come tonight. Boy, or even now. That we would not reach home, but we know we will be home. We'll be brought into the portals of glory. Now the question we are going to ask ourselves, who do men say I am, the Lord Jesus said? What do they say about me? And we could turn to some scriptures. We could turn to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we know in the book of Matthew chapter 16, it tells us that the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Jeremiah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Even some who came and heard him, when the disciples, when he stilled the winds and calmed the sea, they says, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? Remember when they tried to catch the Lord Jesus, and they says, well, Lord, listen, indeed, one man had a wife, and she died, and you know what happened. And then another came and says, should we render unto Caesar the things that should we pay tax? When the Lord Jesus was finished with them, they said, never a man spoke like this man. This was God. In Mark, it says he spoke with authority, not as the scribes. He spoke with authority and power. But who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? What do we say? Based on the scriptures, what can we say after leaving this room, leaving the mountaintop? Can we say I've gotten a more glimpse, or I've meditated on the Son? I understand more about him. Because when we dwell on the person of the Son, what it makes me is not to talk. It makes me a worshiper. When people came into the presence of God, they had very little to say. You look at the scriptures of individuals who were brought into the presence of divine persons. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah went about, woe is you, woe and woe and woe, until he saw indeed the Lord high and lifted up. In the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And his train did fill the temple, and the seraphims indeed flying covered their faces and crying, holy, holy, holy. And then he recognized, indeed, woe is me, because he saw indeed the King in his beauty. When we see the Lord, we have an evaluation of everything. You know, it is said of Isaiah, you know. Isaiah is called the royal prophet. Some call him the evangelist. The fifth gospel. He's the royal evangelist prophet. You know why? There no other book in the Bible have more glories about Christ than the book of Isaiah. The first 40 verses, the first 39 verses, bring before us his personal glory, essential glory. And from 40 to the end, bring before us his moral glories. Isaiah, boy, I tell you, when Isaiah saw him, Isaiah lost sight of everything else. And Isaiah was so caught up with him that even Paul, Peter, John, and they quotes from the book of Isaiah. The Lord Jesus too. Isaiah rejoiced to see my day. Isaiah saw him. What a day. But we are going to take up these three aspects of the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have your little notes, you are going to see the first, we have Alpha and Omega. We see him as the Word. The beginning and the end. We see him as the Creator. And the first and the last. We see his person. We want to break this up very simply. We don't want to stay too long. Let me take off my watch so I could time myself. The first and the last. Saints, let's go through these things carefully, please. The Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Okay? Alpha is where we get our word alphabet from. And you know what you are going to do today? You are going to help me with this message. Because we are going to check from A to Z and bring out some glory about the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about A, think about B, think about C, think about D, think about E, think about F. I'm right so far? G, H, I, J, K. I'm going right, JD? Okay, I'll stop right there. Now when it comes, in every, no matter what literature you have, you must have an alphabet. Men can speak languages, but to put it in writing, you must have an alphabet. Every language that has been written have an alphabet. And what it is, you look at these things and you says, every literature we enjoy reading and we ask, if we didn't have an alphabet, how would we understand anything? How would I understand how knowledge will be passed on and communicated? And what is so striking is this. As the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord called himself this. It's not John's writing, you know. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Is the Lord Jesus speaking? Is the Son speaking? And he tells us, this implies that the Lord Jesus is the whole revelation of the Father, of the whole revelation of God. Now you ask, who is God? People ask them. Who is God? How can I know him? Has he revealed himself? And we are asking ourselves, where can I turn to find out indeed about God? And God said, listen, the Lord Jesus says, I am indeed the Alpha. I am the full revelation. I'm A to Z, so to speak. You know, there's a book. There's some books that is written. And I believe indeed it will help. Indeed, to just help us. I try myself personally. I says, I'm not going to the book. Written by Mr. Rose. Names. Glorious names of the Lord Jesus. I think it's out of print. I am not too sure. But I tell you, I said I want to get some names about Christ myself. And I sat down. And I begin to meditate. Who is God? You know, this question was asked the Lord Jesus, you know. He was asked when he was taken to Annas first. Then he went to Caiaphas. And Caiaphas asked him, art thou the son of the blessed? You know what Caiaphas says in the book of Matthew chapter 27? Art thou the son of the blessed? He said, yes, I am. The man said, what blasphemy. He tore his clothes. This man is worthy of death. In John chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus says, my Father work higher too, and I work. Indeed, you know, this says, this man make himself equal with God. This man is calling himself God. But the scripture tells us clearly in the book of Romans chapter 9 and verse 5. Indeed, he is God over all, blessed forever. This scripture states it clearly. But the thing is, man cannot bring himself to realize that the man, indeed, that was born in Bethlehem's manger is God himself that upholds all things by the word of his power. How could intelligent people believe that a babe in Bethlehem's manger is the creator? And he became a creature. That's why great is the mystery of godliness. It tells us, you know, when it comes, who is God? Look at him. Look at him. in all his beauty, majesty, splendor, and glory. Brethren, could we understand 1 Timothy 3:16? Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of piety. God was manifested in the flesh. Seen of angels the first time. Angels saw the Creator was when he was born in Bethlehem's manger. Not only so, it tells us, justified in the Spirit. He was born of the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit. He was sealed by the Spirit. He offered up himself by the eternal Spirit to God. The Spirit of God indeed walked in the life of the Lord Jesus. And it says he was preached on, believed on into the world, received up into glory. He came out from God and he went back to God because there is where he came from. And you ask, asking me to explain that? No, man. I'm not going to explain it because I cannot. How could God, Solomon said it, heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Yet still, he became so small that he could live in the body of the man Christ Jesus. And even smaller than that, that Christ can dwell in our hearts. It's things we cannot fathom. It's things I reserve for divine persons and recognize the limitation of indeed the vessel and recognize the vastness of the God in whom we have placed our trust. This is God. One man, he says, he will find out who God is. He's going to find out who God is. Remember back in the 60s, well, none of you were there. Back in the 60s, the talk was, God is dead. God is dead. And one guy at the university wrote on a, God is dead. Someone came and wrote, God says Gucci is dead. Listen, men could think what they want. The God we are talking about, the Son, we read it. He's the eternal Son. That life, that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. And we have seen it. And we have bear witness unto you. Eternal life. Eternal life have a beginning. We came into it in time. But this is life eternal. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That ye may know. Indeed, these things are written. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Indeed, how did you get eternal life? Eternal life is having the Son, because the Son is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And where is life? This life is in his Son. In him was life. The life was the light of men. We look and we says, when we look at the word, we are asking, where can we see God? He says, listen, Philip, he that have seen me have seen the Father. God has been fully told now. And when you read the book of 2 Corinthians, there is two things there in chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, we can behold the glory of the Lord. And as we behold it, we are changed from glory to glory. That is his acquired glories. Glories he has acquired by coming into this world. In chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Indeed, it says, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It means now there's a man in heaven in the image of God. God himself. A man who is God is in heaven. He came out, as was said in the readings, as a spirit. He became a man. And he will never cease being a man. So he took back humanity into heaven. And now there's a man sitting on the right hand of God. And he says, would you say this is one of the best physicists you'll find? How God has found a formula to take, link humanity, deity with humanity, take it back to heaven. And there he sits. That's why God said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. God says, you want to know me? You just look at this blessed one. This one, all God ways of God in grace. Indeed, the hymn writer penned it right. He says, listen, indeed we see in him, he's the center of all God's counsels. He for whom all things were made. He is the one who is now, it's not a glory that repels. It's a glory that attracts and draws, indeed, man to himself. And he says, the Alpha. All that God is has been revealed. There's nothing. Indeed, God has held back. You know, indeed, listen, the limitations is on us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And you know, he says, listen here. He said to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed, we have a building of God reserved in heaven. Listen here. You see this dust? From dust it was taken, to dust it will return. So how is my house coming out of heaven? No. It's the character of that house coming out of heaven, the dust coming from earth. And to think, God, this body cannot take in what God wants to give us. We need a new body. Now, when you think about the glories in relation to the Alpha and the Omega, full revelation, I just want to probably quote a little. A. We talk about the sun. What would you put for A? Apostle. He is the apostle, the sent one. B. Beloved. C. The what? Creator, the deliverer, eternal life. Well, we're getting down. F.
Huh?
Faithful. I need something better than that. What's what he says?
Firstborn.
That's good. I want something taken him way back. Father of eternity. I tell you, that's deep. Ask somebody to explain that. Father of eternity. What do you say for G? What for G?
God.
Is God is the great shepherd. H?
Helper.
I need something more.
The head.
Oh, I'll take the head. High priest. Wonderful. All right, we're coming on. Okay. After H is what? I.
Emmanuel.
Which spelling? E or I? E. I need something more than that.
Intercessor.
It's good. Intercessor. Okay. J. the judge. L. Lamb. Very good. I need it. Give me another one. No. L. Something showing his complete authority. Complete authority. Lord of Lords. So K will is very, very easy then, Brother Ben. King. King of Kings. Let's go. M. Messiah. Mediator. Excellent. No, this is the one that's going to trap you up. What is N?
The Nazarene.
The Nazarene. I'll take that in the world. I'll take that. The Nazarene. There's another one we can use. It's a very familiar story to us. Go ahead, Ben. This Ben here. There's a very familiar story to us. This one, you hardly hear anybody calls him this.
The nobleman.
Close. All these are glories of Christ. This is what it means. He's the A to Z. He is the neighbor in relation to the man who fell among thieves. Well, then after, what are we going to say for P?
Oh, sorry.
Well, let's hear O, please. Let's hear O.
Only begotten Son.
Only begotten Son. That's good, but give me another one, Verrill.
Omnipotent.
That is the scripture. All right. He is omnipotent. Anyway, Omega. We'll take what we're talking about, Omega. All right. Let's continue. P. Prince of Peace. Yeah. Q. The quickening spirit. I'll take that viral. Excellent. Excellent. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Resurrection
and the life. The Redeemer. All these things. Okay. S. Son. Give me another one. An acquired glory. One that he has won. By becoming a man. Salvation. Savior. Okay, Savior. No, T. Truth? Yeah, he's the truth. Yeah, he is the truth. He was that before. Tested servant. Listen, he's the teacher. Okay? He's the teacher. You. I wanted to think about this. U, W, X, Y, and Z. Listen, I got stumped myself. Because when I reach to X, Y, and Z, I decided I'm not going to Mr. Rolls. And I sat down thinking what I could put. So I need your help. I need your help because I want to fill up my alphabet. Because I'm going to give this to Sam, that Sam could print it off, or Rami, that he could print it off, that we could add some to it. Now, you. I have one for you. Umpire. Excellent. Umpire.
Upright.
Now, unspeakable gift. But umpire, like umpire. That's very good. No, I have W. W. The way. Oh, yeah, V. Yeah. Victorious, okay. Yeah. And W. The way, the word, You know? Yeah. So now help me with X, Y, and Z. Anyone you could find. Now, as you look for that, we want to see. This was just a little exercise that you can add so much to these letters in relation to the Word, in relation to Alpha and Omega. And all it is Christ in his ways and ministry is bringing out the attributes and all that God is. When you look at him, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and contemplate him, as you feast upon him in the book in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you cannot in any way indeed conceive in your mind that this man cannot be God. There was Mr. Gilbert West went to prove that the Lord Jesus was an imposter. And when he was finished reading the Gospel of John, he came one of the defenders of the Christian faith. You know how much people who have taken this book to prove that Jesus indeed is not what he said he is. What do you think happened? Most of them have bowed and confessed that the Lord Jesus is God over all, blessed forever. You know, I had a young lady worked with me years ago in New York City. An Iranian. Never read the scriptures. And I said to her, Minnie, have you ever read the Bible? She says, no. I says, how could you then come to some conclusion that Jesus is just a prophet? I said, read the scriptures for yourself. You know, she began to read the Gospel of John. And she says, you know, Brian, I had to stop. Because the evidence was too overwhelming. What will I say to my parents if I come and tell them Jesus is God? My wife could tell you, I also had a supervisor who was a Jew. And when we were coming in, going out into full time, he invited us to his house. And we sat down. He says, Brian, pray. And I prayed. I give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said to me, Brian, you cannot be going to the islands to preach. You're going to open some company down there. It got to be. You cannot be leaving this for that. He said, tell me about it. I explained to Mersh and told Mersh that his Messiah came. And explain to him from the scriptures and show him that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, God over all, blessed forever. And know what he said to me? He said, Brian, what will I tell my father and mother if I accept Jesus as my Savior and my Messiah? He said, what can I tell them? My parents will disown me and write me out. They will have a funeral for me, and that will be it. But that's the cause. To stand on the truth of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? What would you say? Peter says, the Lord says, shall you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou art the Christ, and the Son of the living God, and we believe that thou art the Christ, and have the words of eternal life. He is eternal life. And this is the Alpha and the Omega. But when it comes to the beginning and the end, indeed, it takes us to a realm. Creator, can you conceive? You know, about 1974, they sent out one of these satellites out into space. And it was traveling all those years. Last year, it passed out of our galaxy. I said that in Switzerland, Geneva. I had a brother in the meeting who is a physicist, Brother Burkhard Schmidt. When I came down, he said, Brother, you made a mistake. It didn't pass out of our galaxy. It passed out of our solar system. He said, listen, for that to pass out of our galaxy, had to be traveling light years. Light years. And I have a telescope. I like to look at the planets. And you know, you get a good book and you look at Neptune. And you look at Uranus. Language of light years, you know. Trillion of light years to get there. And you says, do you know the expanse that is outside there? We could never fathom. We could never fathom. And they come with this Big Bang theory. That it was a Big Bang. And indeed things just fly out and fall into special places. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is the creator of the ends of the earth. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He said, let there be, and there was. Do you know there were those who were there to witness that? Not only the Spirit and the Father, but also the sons of God. Because the sons of God, in the book of Job, indeed chapter 38, saw creation came into being. And you know what happened? When they saw the creatorial power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shouted for joy. Indeed, when they saw, indeed, this world came into being. I tell you, men, they were mesmerized to see the power of the Lord Jesus. You read Job chapter 38. When God said to Job, were you there? Were you there? When I did this? Were you there when I did that? Could you bind Maseroth and what Pleiades and Orion? You know about those stars? Who put them there? And in the book, I'm only quoting now for brevity of time, brethren. When you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and God asks some questions. He says, with whom then will you liken me? Yeah? Heavens, Psalm 19. Heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day after day utter its speech. Night after night showeth knowledge. Oh, I tell you, indeed when you see, indeed as it were the stars, sing as they shine. The hands that made us are divine. One man say he put the stars in place, the moon in its place, and the sun, and he just hung on nothing. And man says gravity. No, scripture says it is upheld by the word of his power. The word of his power. This is our Savior. And I want to read this verse in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40. Verse 12. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, and meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure, and weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in balances. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor had taught him. Who, with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him the path of justice, judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed him to the way of understanding? Verse 21. Have he not known? Have he not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Have he not understanding from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as a grasshoppers. They that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 25. To whom then will he liken me? Or shall I be equal? Said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by name by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why, sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching for his understanding? Indeed, this is scripture. This is scripture that God is bringing before us. It tells us when we look at creation, and you know what is wonderful? I told you that I went down in this collider, 300 feet in the ground. And I tell you, if you see wires, miles and miles of wires, a tunnel, I think it's about 80 kilometers around, and big like this room, a little, about twice the size, and they have this like a transformer, okay? And this transformer is built. It's massive. And they're shooting light through a tunnel to find out the origin of the earth. Of the universe. Since we are living on like a pinhead, we are smaller than a grain of sand. We are in a universe that we are like, you know, how to describe us? We are like just there. But this is the planet that the Son of God has visited. I don't know who is out there, but I know who came here. The Son of God. So the point is this. We ask ourselves, could you indeed conceive the expanse of space? Could you conceive how vast this universe is? And not only so, by the greatness of his might, he called every star by name. Every star. Not only so, it talk about he hold the waters in the hollow of his hands. It's like a drop in the hollow of his hands. He spanned the heavens. You know what that means? This is my span. God do so. And he spanned the heavens one side to the other. And men talk about this God. Can you conceive how great he is? This is the Son. And now, indeed, the scripture tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But let me say this. In the book of Hebrews, the creation is attributed to the Son. And also in the book of Romans, it means this. That the Son acted on behalf of the Godhead. It's like the Godhead came together and said, listen, we want to create this universe and we want to do this. And the Son acted on behalf of the Father and the Spirit. So it's like the Godhead created, but the actor was the Son. Indeed, this is how great he is. This is how great he is. And we have embraced and come to know him as our Lord and personal Savior. He's greater than creation, you know. Because I tell you, the scripture says, any man who build a house is greater than the house. Hebrews tells us that. So when it comes to creation, indeed, and the mastermind behind it, you know, the great train robbery in England. Indeed, oh, this says, what a mind, what a great mastermind that these men pull off this robbery. Eh? You look at creation. Look at it. And I tell you, I've traveled, you know. I've traveled across America. I drove from New York to California. And I saw America. Beautiful country, man. God bless America. You go to the Caribbean, you say, God bless the Caribbean. You go down to Barbados. Yeah? You see some beaches that make beaches up here look like joke. Yeah. You say, boy, you all are the best of the land. Hadley and I just went up to the North Sea. And I tell you, brethren, thank God for sunshine. It was so cold. When we told the lady we were going up to the North Sea, the lady says, oh. We got there. Well, I bought a shoe. I bought thick socks. I bought sweater. All kind of prepared for it. I was prepared for it. When we got there, the ice, the sea was frozen. tell you, frozen. But you know, to my amazement, there were people there with just a little jacket. I said, what is this? People, God has made a beautiful planet. Ask Brother Sam or Brother Joe about Ethiopia. Beautiful place. Every place God has made. Creation, indeed, listen, is fantastic, fabulous, wonderful. You could see the Creator's hand. And you sit back and say, indeed, it has declared His eternal power and Godhead, this creation. And man will question this God and ask about this God, you know, is He real? You know, where He came from? And what? God, the Son, has been fully revealed His power. But you know, it's His coming that reveal His love. Shall you remember the song? It says, listen. It says, the miracle of love and grace. Is that is what won our hearts. All His power He has. I tell you, retreat into nothingness. Job had to really evaluate himself and says, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But when I saw thee, I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. The Creator. Take a good look. Go out at night. You don't see the stars in New York and New Jersey. Okay? Too much light. But you just tonight go out in the dark places like this and you look. Boy, I tell you, speechless. Our Savior put that there. You tell, you go on your job. Try it tomorrow. He says, I look up at the stars and realize my Savior put it there, you know. Start saying you're mental. But it's a fact. It's true. Let this dawn upon you. And I want to read Psalm 19 before I proceed and finish. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, the heavens show it His handiwork. Day after day utter its speech. Night after night unto night show it knowledge. There is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. Their lines is gone out throughout all the earth, the whole universe, the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them that He set the tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from one end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the end of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now I just want to say this before I proceed. When it comes to the sun, the first thing God made, the first thing that was created was light. Let there be light. And there was light. God made a covenant with light and darkness, it tells us. And He has not broken it since it came in. But what God did on the fourth day, God centered this light in the sun. That is a wonderful revelation of the Son of God. He is the Son. But what God did, He centered now this Son in the Son of Man, the man Christ Jesus. So all that God is, He is. And one may ask, why was it created? Why God created this universe? This, why? You know, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 tell us why. Who it was created for and why it was created. Let us look at that verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That is what creation for. It's for the pleasure of God. But I tell you, this very creation, as was made mention, God is going to fold it up. As a vesture, it shall be changed. But his years are the same, as Brother Cross told us last night. But what will it be, that new creation? Where sin cannot come. Where death cannot touch. What a day that will be. Let me wrap up quickly. Let's turn to that verse back in John's epistle. John epistle chapter 1. And reading verse 2. The first and the last. In light of this timeless and ageless title, is the revelation really of the essential glory and personal glory of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 2, First John chapter 1 verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life. Shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest unto us. Yesterday, in the Song of Songs, Brother Cross brought before us that his hair should be bushy and black as a raven. Wonderful description of Christ. His eyes are eyes like dove, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like He described him. She described him from head to toe. After, they said, where is thy beloved gone that we may run after him? But when he says that is the one who is the eternal youth, he don't grow old. He remains the same. But then when it comes to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, he says his hair is like wool. And this is what a lot of the Rasta men, you don't know, some of you don't know the Rasta men. But some of them says, hey, his hair was bushy and black like as a raven. So, you know, he was a Rasta man. Listen here. The application that Brother Cross brought before us, scripturally right. He's the eternal youth. But when it comes to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, he is the one from ancient of days. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Indeed, this is who he is. I tell you, it limits me because I want to stay in the confines of scripture. Indeed, he is everlasting, from everlasting, from eternity to eternity. He is God. And John, in the book of Revelation, also saw him. His hair white as wool is the same one that was in the book of Daniel. The one of ancient of days. He have no beginning. He have no end. He remains the same. He is always the same. And this is who he is. And it tells us, you know, in the book Deuteronomy, quickly, chapter 3. Chapter 33. And verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Huh? Thy scripture. The eternal God is thy refuge. This is who he is. He's the eternal God. And it tells us, the verse was read this morning, where it says, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. John chapter 17 and verse 5. He says, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. He says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Before he became a man. It's glorious. And the Spirit of God has come out to really bring before us who this altogether lovely one is. I am not going to go back to the book of Hebrews. Psalm, I've done an expound on his glory and the glory of his person. But when, listen, there is no glory, even as creator, even as savior, redeemer, as high priest, all those glories could not express who the Son is. No one knows the Son but the Father. And he to whom the Father will reveal him. None of us know the fullness of the Son. We don't know the fullness of that Son. The S-U-N, much less to understand who the Son is. It's beyond us. But you know what God said? God says, where are the wise? Where are the disputers of this age? Where are those who want to challenge the word of God? God says, listen, I have news. Yes, I've showed them clearly. I have been fully revealed by my Son. But listen, he says, is the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And to us who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew, a stumbling block. To the Greek, foolishness. How a man on the cross could be your savior. How a man on the cross could be the creator. How a man on the cross could be the first and the last. Indeed, the full expression of who God is. How could a man on the cross be God over all, blessed forever? The preaching of the cross. Indeed, when we present the cross of Christ, indeed to men, this is garbage really. But to us, I tell you, that's why the Apostle Paul says, you know, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom I have crucified unto the world and the world unto me. What will you do with the revelation that God has given you of himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? In all things, he must have the preeminence, you know. Abraham bowed. Moses bowed. He made Pharaoh bow. And you see men, Manoah bowed. Isaiah bowed. Peter bowed. And all of us have to do is acknowledge, Lord, you're greater than anything we could conceive. He is all and in all. And you know, all he's asking for, that we may be worshippers. And as was made mention, to remember him, who he is. Angels are puzzled when they look at us and say, look at man. Eh? Look how man behaving. And they have to bow and own and recognize the supremacy of this blessed one. May God help us to realize that God used the foolishness of preaching to bring this knowledge to you and I. Listen, we just scratched the surface, you know. It's just like that satellite going out all those years. And they believe they have accomplished so much, but they have gone that far when it comes to the expanse of God. That's how much it has traveled. God says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? May God bless us and keep our eyes upon him, that the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. For his name's sake. Amen.